Welcome to another episode of Dr. MC's Self-Care Cabaret Podcast. Today, we're going to talk more about yoga and how every body can do yoga. You do not have to look a certain way or be able to bend yourself into a pretzel to find joy and experience the magic that is yoga. Joining us for this discussion is my friend Michelle Sullivan. Michelle is a plus-sized, body-positive yoga teacher. She teaches yin, restorative, vinyasa, and hatha forms of yoga. In her classes, she focuses on creating an environment that is welcoming, inclusive, and accessible to every body. Through the use of props such as blocks and straps and bolsters, she can help you to make the poses more accessible or to improve your alignment. Michelle firmly believes in yoga for every body, as do I. I am excited to chat with her today and learn more about how she found the confidence and courage to take the yoga teacher training and step in front of a class for the first time, and also talk to her about how she prepares for any negativity she may face as a plus-size yoga instructor. I'm thrilled to welcome Michelle to the podcast today. Well, thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us here today on the Dr. MC Self-Care Cabaret Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're gonna jump right in. I like to just right away ask my guests, how do you like to practice self-care?
I've always been a big believer in self-care. Probably like one of the big things I do is I love to cook. So usually like I may cook something that, you know, from a childhood recipe, some family recipe, something that makes me bring back memories. Or what I've been into a lot that I started doing over the pandemic. I mean, I'm married, I have a son, so it's not usually that I'm alone, but during the pandemic and working from home, I was home a lot. And it was hard to keep a routine. Eating breakfast.
It was hard to make a routine.
But like, it's so hard to cook a meal for one, or even just put together breakfast that when you do, it doesn't usually look too good. It's usually something just slapped together. So I'd take the time, and it was usually maybe an extra 2 to 3 minutes just to make something look good for myself. Hmm. Like take, whether it was, you know, cottage cheese and veggies or an acai bowl, instead of just dumping it in, put it together nicely, like make it look like somebody took the time to make me a nice breakfast.
I love that.
Doing that helped me like stay on track without, you know, going not eating my first meal till like 1 o'clock or just grabbing some handful to put in my mouth. Adapt that. Watching a movie, spending time with my son. Some people hate meal plan and prep, but because I love to cook, I love to meal plan and prep.
Okay.
But it helps me get through the week. Well, a lot of people may see that as a chore. I don't, because I know it sets me up for success during the week and takes so much stress off of me. So that is me. That I care for myself that way by setting myself up for success for the week.
I love that. That's awesome.
In therapy.
Yeah, therapy. Really important.
And taking one of my favorite yoga classes. I keep that. That's been with me forever too. So yeah, those are some of those things that I do to take care of myself.
I love it.
And even just if I can't get to any of that, even if I just take like a half an hour out of my day where I just say, I need a half hour to myself and just go sit in my bedroom and do some deep breathing. Or even flip through TikTok for 10 minutes just to have that few minutes to myself. That's what I do.
Awesome. You touched upon several like domains of self-care, right? Because we know that mani-pedis can absolutely be part of any routine, but that's not like the real meaning of self-care. It can be part of it, but like it's much more, it's much deeper than that, right? So you talk about,
right.
I love the idea of making your meals like more special. I call that eating as an act of love. Like you're taking the time to make your food presentable. Like you said, instead of just slapping something in the dish, actually taking the time to make it look good and really taking the care into preparing. I think that's really important.
You're worthy of that. Like yeah. If you're going to spend the time and prepare a meal for your family, at least I do. Like if I prepare a meal for my family, I'm going to take my time, do it right, put it together, and I'm going to make it look like aesthetically pleasing, but that's the cook in me.
Right.
So why not do that for myself and take those 2-3 minutes, because I'm worth it by myself too.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think that's great. I'm wondering, what is your favorite thing to cook?
My favorite thing is probably anything Italian. Like I love like comfort foods, like making gravy and meatballs. I love having people over, which I don't do as much because we've been busy lately, but we do like to entertain. My son's a little picky, so I don't always get to cook what I love, but fish, I love to cook fish. I love salmon. Sometimes I just love to keep it simple. Especially now getting into grilling season, just a great piece of fish, some seasoned veggies. That will be my go-to. Those and Dom's turkey tips. I have an obsession with those.
Nice. I was just curious. I love cooking Italian too. I'm almost all Italian. And yeah, it just kind of comes naturally to me. Although I will say, I heard you call it gravy. We do call it sauce in my family, but
I do.
I won't hold that against you, Michelle. I promise. That's fine. You can be team gravy. I'm on team sauce, but that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I do want to talk about what made you become a yoga teacher? Because I know this was a bit of a transformation for you. And, you know, how did you build up the confidence and decide to just go for it and do it?
So yoga has been with me on and off for probably seven or 8 years. And I've been going to the studio and I loved like the classes that I took. And I loved the atmosphere. And then I took a yoga class and I literally left there and I said, I don't know what just happened, but I want more of it.
Oh, nice.
So from there, I started exploring different yoga classes at different studios. There were some studios that almost made me never want to go back to yoga.
Can you talk a little bit about why?
Yeah, the reason why is because it was stereotype. Mm-hmm. It was your stereotypical thin white teacher. Yeah.
Who can bend themselves into a pretzel.
Yep. Not a diverse crowd. And I know enough to look at the class descriptions and see, you know, this was billed as an all levels welcome class. But there really was no help. It was a vinyasa class. There was no assists. There was no helping with any of the poses. There was no props in the assists. There were no props offered. I'll get back to props in a minute because that's a really big thing in my practice. And there was no sense of community. It was a workout, plain and simple. And I knew there was more to yoga than a workout. So because I had that feeling when I left my initial class, I wanted to try some different places. Some places I liked, some I didn't. Where I found a good home was at Mantra in Danvers, where I had a teacher who was a 6 foot tall Marine. I think he was a Marine, former Marine, big bearded guy. Somebody you would never in a million years think was a yoga teacher.
That's awesome.
And he played Beatles. He played Guns N' Roses. And I was like, this is amazing. And he was awesome. And he would say at the beginning of every class, go get the props. Go get all the props. Get the bolsters, the blocks, the straps. Get them all. Props are your friends. And I didn't really understand how to use them because the classes I had been to before, they were never, they were there, but they were never encouraged. They were never really used.
It was almost like a, I've been in classes like that where it's almost like a, like an ego thing to not use props, like that somehow using props is like a failure. Like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. And it's not. So as the yoga teacher me will tell you, props are meant to support you, to help guide you. Blocks, they're meant to bring the floor to you. It's not, you know, I'm not a flexible yogi by any means. So I use a lot of props, but they are also for a seasoned yogi who maybe they're working towards a deeper pose. They're to assist them into getting deeper into that pose. So it's not just to help somebody who can't touch their toes, which a strap will do. If you use straps, you in a forward fold, like a seated forward fold, use a strap to help bring you closer. I can't touch my toes. I never could. But a strap can help you do that. And over time, you can increase your flexibility. But you're doing it with that tool to help you get there. So I did a lot of his classes. And I learned a lot about it. And when I didn't know, and there was a great, there was a lot of regulars there that I knew. And his wife was also a yoga teacher. And then I got out of it. Oh, for some reason, I think I was buying a house. We were looking to buy a house.
Life
and I
got in the way.
Life got in the way. Looking to buy a house. We had to, you know, cut something somewhere.
Sure.
And then I had gone here and there. But it was during pandemic that my body craved it. My anxious mind needed it. I do have a lot of anxiety. So as soon as stuff started to open, like studios, you know, we had PVC pipe with plastic shower curtains as barriers.
Whatever it takes.
We were wearing masks, but we were there. We were out of our houses. We were in a studio. And the yoga teacher, who she is also a plus size teacher, I knew her. I'm like, I know you. I knew her from Mantra.
Oh, cool.
Like, I couldn't remember her name, but I knew her and I had been in a lot of the same classes. So her and I became friends. So this was a yin yoga class. And if you've never done yin or if you're not familiar with that style of yoga, it is much slower.
Very.
It is mat based. It is more meditative, longer held, passive stretch poses. And it helps. It stimulates your parasympathetic nervous system and really starts to slow you down and slow that mind down.
Yeah, nice.
So I needed that through to deal with my anxiety through COVID. And I just kept going. But it also became like a girls' night because classes, there was only two or three of us in classes because that's all we could have. We became very close. It was a very unique experience to have that, those small intimate classes, but I got so much of that mentally. It helped so much. I'm like, I need to learn more and I need to be able to give this back because if this could help me. And at one point it was suggested to me by a doctor to try yoga for my anxiety. And I basically told her where to go.
My goodness. You had a medical professional promoting yoga and you told them, like, how we never get that.
Yeah. So, but it did so much for me. I'm like, I need to give back. And so I did. Like once I was sure enough, I said it, I put that out into the universe because I'm very big on energy in the universe.
Absolutely.
Putting things out there and manifesting. And I did. Trying to find a yoga teacher training during pandemic isn't the easiest thing.
I'm sure.
Especially one that was in person, but I did. So I went to Salty Buddha. They have locations in Peabody and Salem. And it was an amazing experience with very supportive class, very supportive environment, very diverse, very inclusive of all shapes, colors, genders. It's a very inclusive community.
Awesome.
But I will tell you, the first night of training, I pulled up there and I almost didn't go in the doors.
Oh no.
I sat in my car and cried and wanted to throw up. But I put my big girl pants on, said I paid the money for this. I'm going. And it was the best, one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Oh, I'm so glad that you found the confidence and the courage to move forward, because it sounds like it was definitely something that was a calling or became a kind of a calling for you. I think that's awesome. And we talk a lot on the podcast about the parasympathetic nervous system, because that's your rest mm-hmm. and digest response, which is the opposite of fight yep. or flight. So deep breathing can help activate that, gentle yoga, mm-hmm. stretching. Yeah, awesome. Love it.
So that is primarily what I teach. I'll teach all different modalities, but yeah, that has been primarily what I've been teaching, and adding some more pranayama into it with different breathing techniques yeah. too.
Nice. So I'm wondering, you know, the yoga world and, you know, society in general isn't always particularly kind or doesn't make it easy for plus size folks. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of fat phobia in the world. And of course that exists in the yoga world as well. So I'm wondering, yep. as a plus size yogi, how do you navigate that?
Well, I will be 47 in a week.
Happy early birthday.
I don't mind. Thank you. And I don't mind putting that out there, because I'm not someone that would lie about my age, but I also want people to know that somebody's looking to make a switch and do something in their life, it's never too late to do it.
100%.
But having lived in a larger body pretty much all of my life, I want to say I've gotten used to it, but maybe I have a thicker skin than I did, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So having come from a supportive environment, I think I've taken that, and I know that I'm confident in myself and that I can walk into a studio, and if it's not welcoming, I can see myself out the door and just be like, this isn't the place for me.
Sure.
But I know a lot of people can't do that, and they don't know how to do that. So I try to advocate for that. I try to advertise myself in my classes as a very welcoming environment. I encourage people, because a lot of my advertising about my classes are through social media. And I always encourage people to message me and ask me. And that is a lot of the emails that I get are, I've never done this before. I'm not flexible. Am I too big to do this? Mm. I don't know how I can do this, or I don't have that much mobility. So I encourage that, and I will talk to people. Like, I will look through different, if I know they're coming, I will, you know, research different variations of poses for them. But I know the people that aren't always going to be coming to me. But some things to do is, somebody who wants to try it, there's a lot of great resources online. And somebody I would refer to is Jessamyn Stanley.
Oh, I adore her.
Yes. The underbelly plus size woman. I love her. I love how outspoken she is. I love her self-love. And even when she's not feeling the self-love, at least she just puts it all out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I adore her for that. And she has a great yoga practice, and she cues a lot for a larger body. And if anybody wanted to try yoga and is afraid to walk into a yoga studio because they didn't have the confidence, I would highly recommend her website, theunderbelly.com. And I think she does, I looked at it and I think she does like a 14-day free trial.
Okay.
She has great cues. And I am confident that she would be able, taking her classes would give somebody confidence to walk into a class.
Yeah. In your classes, Michelle, do you have opportunities for folks to use, obviously, like props, but do you have opportunities for like chair poses and stuff like that? Or
at the studio, when I teach at the studio, we do have props to use. And I will always tell, people grab blocks and a strap. We may or may not use them, but grab them anyways.
Sure.
And if I don't incorporate them into my practice that night, I will keep an eye on my students to see, you know, like if they're not, they're having a hard time, I will show them how to use a block and see if that makes a difference for them.
There's so much you can do, though. I think people don't realize that even if you just do standing poses or poses where you're on the mat the whole time, or even if you have the ability to use a chair or whatever else, like you still feel the benefits. It's not a sign of weakness doing like just a standing pose. It's not that, like, it's still beneficial.
Yep. And like I said, all it does, you can't get to the ground is going to come to you. If you can't, you need to do chair yoga, you're still going to be moving. It's not going to be a sedentary practice. Yeah. You're still going to be moving and you're still going to be feeling it. You're just going to have the additional support that your body needs. I'm always about, and I will always say over and over in my classes, listen to your body.
Yes.
Don't ever do something with your body that it can't do.
And I think we'll name that the episode title because it is so important. We tend to be just so disconnected because we run around crazy. Mm-hmm. We do all kinds of things and we're just like, oh no. Like I can remember back when I was kind of in my eating disorder days and not, you know, using exercise as punishment and not listening to my body. I can remember like I would refuse to use a prop because I felt like that was an area of weakness. Like, oh, if I'm using a prop, like it must mean like I'm not, like how ridiculous. Like I got this all twisted up in my head about like props and I refused to use them. And now I'm like, they're awesome. I need to use them. They help me. You feel better. You can get deeper into the poses. And now, you know, obviously I've done a lot of work in my healing to get to this point where I'm okay and I feel good in my body and I appreciate my body for what it can do. Took a long time to get here. But I also recognize, you know, chair poses, standing poses, whatever it is, like still benefits, still feels good. So I love it. And Jessamyn Stanley, when I first saw her picture, she stopped me like in my like tracks. She was on a an advertisement for Yoga Journal. And I remember it like popped up on the website and I was like, whoa, who is this beautiful, heavyset black woman that is crushing it in the scorpion pose right now? And I was just, captivated by her image and went and
because she's everything that you don't ever see in yoga.
So I went to like found out who she was. I always, when I teach my workshops and I post on self-care and we talk about yoga as part of, you know, it can be part of a healthy self-care routine if folks choose, I usually put her picture on the slide and I always get comments. People are like, oh my god, like thank you for putting her on the slide and like letting us see her image, because like that's just not typically what you see.
Right.
I love it.
And yeah, it isn't. And I love seeing that. I love, and she was recently on the cover of was it Shape magazine?
Oh, might have been. She's on. Have you read her book? We'll make sure everything's linked in the episode notes too.
Yep, I do have. I have Yoga for Everybody or Everybody Yoga.
Yep.
I have not read Yoke yet.
Oh,
that is on my
list. I didn't realize she had a second one.
I haven't read it yet. She does.
Awesome.
She has another book. I think it came out maybe like a year and a half ago.
I don't know. She retweeted. What's it called? Regrammed my Instagram story the other day where I tagged her. Maybe we'll have to get her on the podcast.
I saw that. I was so excited for you.
I was pretty pumped about that too. I was wearing her sweatshirt, her brand. But anyway, back to you. What is your favorite yoga pose?
My favorite yoga pose, without a doubt, is pigeon pose.
Ooh, I love pigeon.
It's So pigeon pose is a very, and I love that you love it because pigeon is a polarizing.
Oh, no, I like those hardcore hip openers. Pose.
Yeah, it's one of those poses that you either love or you hate. There really is no middle of the line with pigeon. And I started out hating it. It is a deep, intense hip opener. Oh, Jesus. And I was practicing yin. So you're looking to hold that pose for anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes, whatever the instructor is holding. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. But going to yoga, so this is before I even decided I was going to go to yoga training. When you go to yoga classes, there are certain yoga teacher phrases you're going to hear. One of them is surrender to the pose. Mm. Or surrender yourself to this, but surrender in somehow. And a lot of times, like, it takes a while sometimes to understand what they mean. And then sometimes out of the blue, like, they'll just click. It was in pigeon pose that surrender to the pose actually clicked for me. Mm. And I knew what it meant to go deeper into a pose. Because after doing it for a while, I could feel it in my body. That, at first it was uncomfortable, which in yin, part of the thing is you wanna find your edge. You don't want to stay, somewhere where you're not. You want to feel sensation without being painful. So you want to stay between like a 4 and a 7. Like if 10 was, your most uncomfortable, you want to stay between a 4 and a 7. Engage it that way. So I'm like, oh, but that's what I meant. Like I could go deeper into it. And it's when a lot of stuff about yoga clicked for me was in this pose. Mm. So surrender has, I should back up a second, even before that. So going through yoga teacher training and learning, when you learn about the 8 limbs of yoga, there is a, there's the yamas and the niyamas, which are like, they're basically like codes of ethics for yoga. Yeah. And one of the niyamas is the last of the niyamas, I believe, is Ishvara Pranidhana. And it means it's Sanskrit, and it means to surrender to a higher power. Mm. And it can be interpreted in so many ways. Yeah, to surrender to the universe, to surrender to a god or deity or whatever it is, or to surrender to yourself, surrender to your higher self, to your meditation, surrender to a pose. But all of this, so once I learned more about it and always having that idea of surrender that came from pigeon, that has become a big theme in like just in my personal practice, which sometimes I try and work into a practice that I teach. But it's so much like I actually have the phrase Ishvara Pranidhama like tattooed on me. That was my graduation gift to myself when I graduated yoga teacher training.
Nice. You know what? I think I've changed my mind. I think we're going to call the episode Surrender. Because I think that is...
I'd love that even more.
And that's better. We're changing it. And I can do that. So very cool. I think that's beautiful. And it's a nice reminder. And I know as you were describing that, I can remember like those moments of like having those breakthroughs. And like when you really feel the surrender and like you can almost just like melt into the pose and just go deeper. It's really powerful.
It is. And then when you take that, and then once you get that, like you bring that off of the mat. Yeah. It's like once you have that breakthrough on the mat, you carry it with you off of the mat.
Yeah, for sure.
And that has stayed with me a lot off of the mat too, is being able to surrender and listen to the universe and just know when things are supposed to happen and when they're not.
Yeah. Nice. I'm so happy for you taking this journey, and I'm sure that you know, your classes sound amazing and I love the environment you're doing and creating for folks.
Thank you.
We need more people that are like real people teaching yoga and creating those welcoming, inclusive environments.
And we're getting there slowly but surely.
Yeah, for sure.
We're getting there.
I just love Michelle's journey and her evolution into practicing yoga and that she is helping to smash barriers and expectation around what a yogi is and what a yogi looks like. And trust me, yoga is for everybody. And her advice about, you know, moving back into your body and reconnecting is just so, so important. Give it a try and meet yourself where you're at. If you happen to live in the greater Boston area, be sure to check out Michelle's classes. She teaches regularly around the area in Saugus. I believe she's also in Stoneham and maybe Medford. But you can find all that information and follow her on Instagram at Michelle Sully Yoga. That's Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, Sully, S-U-L-L-Y, Yoga, Y-O-G-A. She teaches weekly and you definitely have to check it out. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you're feeling more energized and empowered. And I hope you're enjoying our bonus podcast episodes, including this one. This is actually the last bonus episode for a bit. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled bi-weekly programming following this. But be sure to follow along on Instagram at Dr. MC Self Care and Dr. MC's Self Care Cabaret on LinkedIn. You can also visit my website, drmcselfcare.com, for the latest updates and to sign up for the Cast Party, my e-newsletter. And if you're interested in ever having me present to an audience near you, email info@drmcselfcare.com. Thanks again. Stay well and do good.